In the White House National Strategy for Victory in Iraq, the 35-page document that was released last week, the description of victory over the longer term reads as follows. Iraq is peaceful, united, stable, and secure, well integrated into the international community, and a full partner in the global war on terrorism. Well, that second adjective, united, is a relative term. Peter Galbraith, who's the former U.S. ambassador to Croatia and has been a political advisor to the Iraqi Kurds, has written this: although it was certainly not his intention, George W. Bush broke up Iraq when he ordered the invasion in 2003. Peter Galbraith joins us from Bergen, Norway. And Ambassador Galbraith, is Iraq about to break up the way that Yugoslavia, where you served in the past, broke up?
It's not far from doing that. The constituent components are already de facto completely independent. Kurdistan is the most independent of them, and it operates as an entirely separate country. And like the former Yugoslavia, there's already a civil war underway, this one between the Sunnis and the Shiites, and Baghdad, the capital, is at the front line.
In terms of the gap between Sunnis and Shiites, I'd like you to elaborate on what you wrote in the New York Review of Books recently when you were writing about the negotiations on a new constitution. You said, small concessions cannot paper over the differences between the victims of horrific atrocities and those who deny that any crimes took place. Who denies that any crimes took place?
Well, in the course of the negotiations, there was a meeting between the Sunnis and the Shiites. And Nabil Moussaoui, who's a young parliamentarian I've known for years, came running out, and he said, those guys, they're incredible. They say that the only victims of Saddam Hussein were five farmers in the south and a few Kurds. Well, Nabil's father was one of several hundred thousand Shiites who disappeared and were killed by Saddam's security services. It's very hard to have a shared sense of nation when you have such profound differences between two of its most important constituents.
And yet, Iraqis this month will elect a parliament in an election in which people typically will vote for a member of their either religious or national group.
That's exactly right. There's the Kurds have the Kurdistan Alliance, and almost all Kurds will vote for that. The Shiites will vote overwhelmingly for a Shiite religious list because that's what you do if you're a Shiite. And there'll be a number of Sunni Arab parties that are competing for the vote. They range from religious parties to former Baathists.
What do you think of that list of descriptions of victory in Iraq in the longer term? Peaceful, united, stable, secure. Any of it possible?
Parts of it are possible, but the entire list is mutually contradictory. If you're looking for a united Iraq, it's unlikely to be peaceful. The only way that Iraq has been held together since it was founded in the aftermath of the First World War has been by brute force. But it is possible to have a negotiated breakup, not necessarily into two or three fully independent countries, but into a very loose confederation in which the center has almost no power. But if you do that, it's important to resolve the issues that can make the civil war worse. And those issues are who gets the benefit of the oil resources, some formula not for sharing control, which the regions will insist on, but for sharing the benefits, and to resolve some of the territorial disputes, particularly the ethnically mixed city of Kirkuk. And finally, a formula to deal with Baghdad, which is a city that has both Sunnis and Shiites.
Well, as someone who's been deeply involved in Iraq and was the U.S. ambassador to Croatia, you have invoked the comparison to the old Yugoslavia and the position the U.S. took trying to hold that federal system together to no avail in the end. What should the U.S. be doing right now? Should it be abetting the breakup into a loose confederation of what is now an aspiring unified state? Should it be trying to hold things together better than it is?
The great tragedy of Yugoslavia is that the U.S. embarked on a policy that could not succeed, namely in 1991, trying to hold together a country that was already breaking apart and put almost no effort into avoiding the war that followed. And the problem with Iraq is not if the country breaks up. The problem will be if it breaks up in a Yugoslavia-type war. That's what we should be working to avoid. And the other thing I would do is not try and build national institutions where there's no nation, but to build regional institutions. Already, the North and the South are reasonably secure because they have their own armies, and Iraq's constitution specifically allows regions to have their own armies. But we will not bring the Sunni center, the locus of the insurgency, under control as long as we try to fight it with American troops. We need to develop a Sunni Arab army, and that cannot be an army that consists of Kurds or Shiites, because those people, the Sunni Arabs, see as the enemy.
And you're convinced that short of a brutal dictator, there's nothing that could hold these component parts together as a truly unified state of Iraq.
I think history dictates that where you try to have a democracy or an open society, and you have people who, in a geographically defined area, who do not want to be part of the country, in the case of the Kurds, or who have diametrically opposed values, in the case of the Sunnis and the Shiites, it's very hard to hold that country together as a unified state. Democracy killed the Soviet Union, it killed Czechoslovakia, it killed Yugoslavia, all multi-ethnic states that had been held together by dictatorship. The same thing's happening in Iraq. And I don't see any sign that that country, which has never had a successful moment as a shared state, is going to work.
Peter Galbraith has advised the Kurdish leaders in Iraq. He's former U.S. ambassador to Croatia and now senior diplomatic fellow at the Center for Arms Control and Nonproliferation. He spoke to us from Bergen, Norway. Ambassador Galbraith, thank you very much for talking with us.
Robert, good talking to you.